This podcast on Sports360AZ.com is brought to you by your Valley Hyundai dealers. We appreciate the Valley Hyundai dealers and their support.
Now, the Brad Sesmatt Show, broadcasting live from the Skyview Network Studios.
Good Wednesday. Thanks for being with us. Fantasy Football with Michael Fabiano at 10:20. Scott Peters is going to show up today. Actually, he's going to join us by phone. Scott's former ASU NFL offensive lineman. When you and I first started doing this in 2011, Scott and Gray Rugemer were with us trying to figure it out. I don't want to use the term lost souls. They were just post-NFL. They had a pretty good show, though, didn't they, when we look back on that now?
They did. They did. Yeah, and at some point, we're all lost souls at one point or another in our life. So.
Or many times in my case. I would say that Scott was as hard on ASU because it was Lisa Love, Vontaze Burfict. I mean, everything was imploding over there. Everything was just a total disaster. And there are people over there that, I can't believe you let him on the air, and he's not a great Sun Devil. Well, what are you talking about? He's just expressing his opinion, what everybody sees. Come on. So Scott met with Ray last week, was asked to meet with Ray Anderson, along with some other former Sun Devils, about this hire and about turning the direction of the football program into an NFL-type model. So I want to visit with Scott about that today. Talk to the Lopes comes up at 11. Tom Kuiper will be with us, the radio analyst. I stayed up as much as I could last night to watch the Lopes, and then I just kind of crashed and burned like they did. They ended up losing just by 8, but... you know, nonetheless, Havoc's put on a good show. And we've come to expect that out of the Havocs, and GCU is playing a tough schedule. I like this. I'm very much on the mindset of please schedule tough games, lose games, and find ways to win as you grow, which they are. They're very, very young into this deal. They've got the student thing figured out by a mile and a half over anybody else in the state. But on the court, when you play... when you play Grambling State like you do this Saturday, you should win. Next week when you go to Boise, and Boise beat Oregon at Oregon. They lost to University of San Diego. University of San Diego beat Oregon State. So, you know, let's just look at it space by space. St. John's, ASU should handle St. John's this week because ASU's backcourt is as good as any that I've seen this year. I've watched a lot of college basketball. Watching U of A last night, I'll get into that in a minute. But anyways, we'll have to talk to the Lopes coming up. Friday night 360 AZ preview show, and actually it's a review show this week with Haley and Jordan. The high school finals are played. They're done. Now what on the high school football format, football front? Letter of Intent Day is just 3 weeks away. No longer is it the first week of February, so there's a ton of recruiting stuff that's up on our site you can check out. Jordan and Haley will have that coming up here shortly. What is on my mind today? Brought to you by Sagicor. Guys, you got to protect what matters most. Sagicor now. Go to Sagicor now and log on there and get your life insurance handled. Get the information that you need and do it with the really good people of Sagicor. We appreciate Sagicor and their support of what we do here at Sports360AZ.com. We are self-funded, so without people like Sagicor, we don't do this every day. The commercials you see, they're the people that say, we believe in what you are doing and what you've been doing for 6 years. And we appreciate that. The story of the day really is Devin Booker. I could go into Ray and Herm, and I will. I'm going to go into some recruiting stuff today that as I see the landscape changing from my view, spoke to some sponsors, partners, boosters around ASU in the last couple of days, put up a quote from one of them this morning that has some people pretty fired up. Which is fine. I love that. I love the passion. Bring the passion. And there's still those that are hating on Brad, you're an idiot. Brad, you're this, Brad, you're that because you're supporting Ray Anderson. You have no clue. I'm never watching you again. Fine. Welcome on in. I'm never going to renew my season tickets. That's the worst thing that they've ever done. It's nepotism. It's cronyism. It's you know, it's isms. And it's just a football coach. At the end of the day, it's just a football coach. Breathe. Take some time. It's been a week. Devin Booker. So we have some video of this from last night. Devin Booker, the Suns, if the Suns don't have Devin Booker, then they probably become the clubhouse leader for Bagley or Ayton. This is it up at Toronto. play is stopped, and is buffer. We'll get back to it in a second. But just roll it up there, guys, when it shows up. But Booker gets hurt last night. They call it a strained left abductor muscle. Strained left abductor. I don't know. If I'm going to strain a muscle as badly as it looked, and they had to have two of his teammates carry him off. He was put in a wheelchair with crutches to get out of the building, and they had to fly from Toronto all night to get back to Phoenix to get worked on today. And as bad as that looked, they're playing against Washington tomorrow night. And there's Book, and he's down, and there's the veteran Jared Dudley saying, "What do you got?" And he knows. And I saw on Twitter Booker was down. And then I flipped over to it. I was watching the U of A game because it looks pretty innocent from that angle, but it wasn't. And he just couldn't continue, and they had to take him off the floor last night. So it was one of those deals. And, so Devin Booker's out. I don't know how long. We have not seen an update. At least I haven't in the last half hour from the Suns as of yet, but I would anticipate this one's going to be a while. Eric, are we in a mindset, no Devin Booker, over under on wins the rest of the season, or as long as he's out would be, because he wasn't clutching his knee, so it wasn't like an ACL type of thing. They're all looking at him.
Yeah, I would say, Brad, that when you get taken off the court, carried off the court, that's a pretty serious injury. And TMZ had a picture this morning of Booker in a wheelchair, with a hoodie on and a real distraught look on his face. Well, so I'm not one to speculate, but you know those things can take a while to heal.
Yeah, and I'm not going to speculate either. It's just it's not good. I'm going to.
That's about as much speculation as we should do.
Right.
It's probably not good.
Let's speculate a bit further. He's not going to play tomorrow night against Washington. How's that for speculation? The Suns are at 9 wins and 17 losses right now. Okay. So the worst record in the league, Dallas has 7, Sacramento has 7, the Bulls have 3, the Hawks have 5, the Nets have 9. So the tank mode hasn't gone on for the Suns yet. And, you know, without Devin Booker, 12 wins, 15 wins maybe? If he were to be gone the whole season, if he's back in a couple weeks, what's their schedule look like here? Their schedule the next few weeks. Every game they're almost every game they're going to be favored to lose. Next couple weeks, Washington, Spurs, Kings, Raptors, Minnesota, Dallas. They got a lot of games coming up here. Clippers. You have to wait to see where it goes down. Without him on the floor, though, they'd struggle to get to 15 wins. If it's the worst case scenario, they'd struggle to get to 15, I think. And they're sitting there right now at 9. So that happened last night. The big story to me on this deal is who else would step forward? What would Ryan McDonough and Robert Sarver, the timeline, dun, 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 the timeline, Scott, stick to the timeline. No. What direction would they go on this deal? If you lose your best player and you know it's over, then you've got to just do what they've been doing, and that's take the roster and turn it into a revolving door and get some of the veterans out of here. And if you've decided you've seen enough of Chris and you've seen enough of Bender, or maybe you haven't seen enough of them, just totally take your lumps, totally get hammered, lose games by 40. It's almost becoming Tankapalooza again. And I bring that up because last night I watched DeAndre Ayton again. I've become fascinated with watching the University of Arizona Wildcats center. I really like watching Marvin Bagley at Duke. I really do. I see those two players, and like last year when I said I would take Lonzo Ball, and I'd still take Lonzo Ball, by the way. It's 20 games. It's easy to hate. It's easy to hate. It's 20 games. If I've got to take DeAndre Ayton or Marvin Bagley. And last night, Danny Ainge is sitting there in the front row. They show Danny over and over and over in the U of A game. And the Celtics, they're in a draft spot where, who knows? I know Dave Pasch and Bill Walton, I got a rant on them here in a little bit too, but I know they were speculating about where the Celtics could end up on this. So I see those two. Did you watch? Were you in a space to watch last night?
I did not. Okay. I saw highlights. I did not see the games.
Ayton is Greg Oden. Okay.
Greg Oden in college?
Yes.
Greg Oden?
College. Okay. At Ohio State.
Pre-injuries. Got it.
Bagley is Tim Duncan when he was Tim Duncan, in my view, at Duke. Have you seen him yet this year?
I have. I just think Bagley is way more skilled than Tim Duncan was when he was a freshman at Wake Forest.
Really?
Sure. You didn't see Tim Duncan grabbing the rebound, taking it coast to coast, and dunking it like we've seen with Marvin Bagley. Mm-hmm. We haven't seen Tim Duncan stepping out and consistently hitting three-pointers like Marvin Bagley has.
Different game? Different era?
Sure.
Different game, different era?
Yeah. But, I mean, I think Marvin Bagley is far more athletic than Tim Duncan.
Okay, so let's just say for argument's sake that the Suns lose Booker for a long time.
Which it looks like. Again, not to speculate.
You're speculating.
I just speculated.
It's fine. So they're at 9 wins. They go in tankapalooza mode. They're only 6 games back of the Bulls. And the Bulls and Suns have played twice this year. And the Suns beat the Bulls. They beat them both times. So they're done with the Bulls.
Does tanking follow the timeline? That's my main concern.
Oh, my gosh. You're so done. The timeline is just... When people say the timeline, they don't take into account that, yeah, Devin Booker had to be carried off the court in Toronto. So now what is that? What does that mean? You got an owner here, Eric, that we can't figure Robert out. Nobody can figure Robert out. Robert's making gobs of dough, and the team's not good. And now they've just lost their best player.
Right.
I don't know for how long, but... At some point, don't you look and say, we should position to get Bagley here? We should position to go get DeAndre Ayton here. Don't you do that? Isn't that that's the logical thing to do when you lose your best player. If it comes out that Devin Booker is only going to be out a couple of weeks, which I would be shocked by that, it's a different narrative. If it comes out that Devin Booker is going to be out until the All-Star break, then you might as well just look at 17-18 and say, let's keep doing what we did last year, except we didn't quite figure it out well enough, so we took Josh Jackson. And Josh Jackson's fine, but is he over the top great? It's 20 games, just like it is for Lonzo Ball. Does Josh Jackson put people into seats? No. Does Lonzo Ball put people into seats? Yes. If you're drafting a big, there's something about taking a big man. And I don't mean Alex Len, big man. Let me phrase that. If you have the number one or number two pick, I'm burying myself here on this one. If you have the number one or number two pick, and right now you look at Bagley and you look at Ayton and say, boy, I got to choose between one of those. I'd probably go with Bagley, but I don't think that Bagley is a true five. Does Bagley really like to get punished and pounded on? Like, it would be great to see Duke play U of A. It would be great to see Duke, to see Ayton bang around with Bagley. I'd love to see that. That was a good win for U of A last night. It was a very good win. The people that throw dirt on U of A, it's a long-ass season. It's just a long year. And so they're not very good early. They're trying to figure out how to use their big. Again, last night, I see Trier throw up shots that aren't smart. I see possessions that aren't great. And then I see flashes where Sean throws his clipboard and Sean loses his mind and the team gets a little bit better. I see Parker Jackson Cartwright do some things that aren't very good. Then he steps back and it's a big three. On one hand, I'm saying you got to just play Barcelo and deal with it. You just got to play Alex and deal with it. And maybe that's my heartstrings rather than my head. You know, on ASU's side this week, I'm interested to see how they do against St. John's. I think that's a really good litmus test for them, even though St. John's doesn't have their best player. And then Sunday afternoon, I have to make a decision Sunday afternoon. The Cardinals play Tennessee, but at the same time, ASU plays at Kansas. College basketball on a Sunday afternoon. Michael Fabiano is next. I'm Brad Sussmat. And now let's turn our attention to fantasy football. It is Wednesday. Michael Fabiano. I was driving along and I heard Michael Fabiano on Westwood One on Sunday. Have you been doing that all along, by the way, the Hall of Famer? Is that part of your deal?
Oh, yeah. I've been doing that since I was back in CBS. I mean, for years and years and years. So yeah, it's been a
I just don't
been
hear
a long
you much.
Time.
No, you sound great.
How are you?
I'm great.
Doing all right?
I'm doing fine, Hall of Famer Michael Fabiano. I'm doing fine. I mean, my mailbag is unfortunately it's stuffed with Ezekiel Elliott stuff, and I'm kind of done on that. Although with playoffs coming up, for me to say you should bench Ezekiel Elliott, are you kidding me? So I'm going to start there and just get it out of the way. Well, you know, playoffs are coming. Strategy Ezekiel Elliott.
You're in a holding pattern at this point. Yeah, you really are. The teams out there that are desperate to pick up a player off the waiver wire and really can't afford to drop anyone else, I guess those people would be in a small percentage, though. If you've held on to them for this long, you keep holding on to them. Hopefully, you get a win in your playoffs, and you can use Zeke when he's able to come back, which is in Week 16.
Week 16, and it's a pretty simple strategy. I've got him. I've stashed him. At this point, I don't see why you wouldn't go that direction. That's just me.
Exactly.
Josh Gordon, getting a lot of questions about Josh Gordon. What were your thoughts? Do you see more coming for Josh Gordon?
He looked really good for a guy who hasn't played since 2014. And Matt Money Smith, who's our host on NFL Fantasy Live, also does the games for the Chargers, and he was really impressed watching Gordon. And he led the team in targets right out of the gate. So good matchup this week against the Green Bay Packers. Gordon right now is a borderline 2 or 3 flex option for fantasy owners, and I would not have any issue at all starting him this week.
And I've added him, and I was thrilled the very first play of the game they throw to him. So got him going.
Yeah,
right
and
away.
I mean, tough matchup, too, against Casey Hayward. He's one of the better cover corners in the league. Gordon still put up a nice line.
Kerwin Williams out here in Arizona. Fans looking for anything on waiver wire this late in the season. Kerwin Williams.
Desperation flex play, to be quite honest with you, and that's about it. The Titans have been pretty good against the run, and Williams is by no stretch of the imagination a featured back. I'll tell you, losing Adrian Peterson last week cost me a playoff spot. It hurt. I think he would have had a very good game based on the matchup and based on what Williams did, but he is someone who is a desperation flex based on the fact that if AP can't play this week, he'll see some touches, and we know he'll see some touches. But the Cardinals are going to give touches to some other backs too.
Jimmy Garoppolo or Alex Smith, mailbag?
Not even close. It's Alex Smith. Last week, they changed play callers. They went and had a terrific game plan. They lost, but they scored a lot of points. And they're playing the Raiders at home this week. Smith is the start.
Matt Ryan, Phillip Rivers, mailbag?
Rivers. Ryan has been what I thought he was going to be, which is a disappointment this year. He hasn't scored 20 points in a game all season long. Rivers has got a good matchup at home against the Redskins.
Ben Roethlisberger, Alex Smith.
Alex Smith, although I do like Roethlisberger this week. The Ravens' defense is tough, but they just lost Jimmy Smith for the season, and that makes them a bit more vulnerable, but he would be the second choice there.
Here's the Hall of Famer, Michael Fabiano, right there at the NFL Network, doing his thing, just cranking it out as always. All right, enough of the mailbag. What are some things you're looking at coming into this week's game, playoffs right around the corner, some players that you're excited to see and them move forward, Michael?
Well, the playoffs have started in a lot of leagues this week. You're looking at week 14 to 16 if you have six teams in your playoff bracket. So what am I looking for this week? Well, number one, I'm really interested to see what Eli Manning does back under center for the Giants because it would be totally storybook, and you know I'm a Cowboys fan, for Eli to come in, throw for 4 touchdowns, beat the Cowboys, basically knock them out of playoff contention, and I'm really interested to see what Eli is going to do. I'm interested to see if Alfred Morris can put up another good stat line because last week he was very effective. I'm interested to see what the Jets can do in Denver. That offense has been hot, and Denver's defense has really struggled if you look at it over the last few weeks, almost like a team that's sort of given up. And McCown and Robbie Anderson and Jermaine Kearse are going to be starting on a lot of fantasy teams this week. I'm also very interested to see what happens with the Vikings Panthers game because both defenses are very good. I have Cam Newton as a player that you might want to sit this week because of that matchup. And I'm also interested to see what Devin Funchess can do against Xavier Rhodes because he's one of the best cover corners in the league, held Julio Jones to next to nothing last week. So that's a game that I'm extremely interested in. You know what game also interests me?
Yeah.
Philadelphia and the Rams. And here's why. Carson Wentz has been one of the 3 best quarterbacks in fantasy football this season. The Rams have not allowed a quarterback to finish better than 19th in fantasy points against them in Los Angeles all year. And they've played against Drew Brees and Kirk Cousins and Russell Wilson. Can Carson Wentz put up a top 10 performance in L.A.? Maybe not.
No, that's and Josh McCown, he's like the roach that lives through every nuclear holocaust. He's still out
this
there,
dude,
Michael.
He played for the Connecticut Colonials or the Hartford Colonials. Okay, I'm not kidding you. Like, he was out of the NFL and he was playing for this small league on the East Coast, and now he has more fantasy points than Drew
Brees. Yeah,
it's
insane. Yeah, I'm sitting there, and I've got Cam this week too, and I'm looking around on the waiver wire saying I'm not so sold on using Cam, and there aren't very many good options out there when it comes to quarterbacks this time of year. I kind of set myself back on this one. I have Fitzpatrick as my backup, and you know it's
and Fitzpatrick is clearly not an option now because Jameis Winston is back. So
yep, I'm screwed.
You may be looking at playing Cam and crossing your fingers and hoping for the best. The good thing about Cam, and the reason why he's such a threat, it's not even about his passing skills. It's about what he could do with his legs. There's been games this year where he's thrown for fewer than 200 yards and is still giving you 20 points because he's giving you 50, 60 yards on the ground and maybe a touchdown. So
I'll let you go off that. Thanks for the time as always, Michael.
Take care, brother.
You got it. There's Michael Fabiano right there at the NFL Network. The Hall of Famer checking in on the fantasy football front. Sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic, AZ Central Sports. Scott Peters on the other side about Herm Edwards and about the whole direction of the football program. He was called in and met with Ray Anderson and some other former Sun Devils. We'll get into that with Scott Peters next. Talk to the Lopes comes up at 11. And then we'll have our Friday night 360 AZ show with Haley and Jordan. They look back on the championship games, look ahead a little bit. The other guests, as always, it's a good show as well. I love these Wednesday shows. We're all over the place. Stay with us. And now let's turn our attention on this Wednesday. It's been, 11 days now since U of A and ASU played on the football field. 11 days ago, ASU beat U of A. You would think that'd be the crowning moment of 2017. Instead, Todd Graham was fired a short time later. Then Ray Anderson stepped up and said, I'm going to go on my search. And Herm Edwards' name surfaced. And there was this email that came out about how the football program was going to go a different direction, more of an NFL model with GMs that had people up in arms. And then Herm gets hired and more people go up in arms. And I'm sitting over here saying, no, this is all good. This is all very, very good. I am tired of being mired in mediocrity. 140 wins, 126 losses since Jake Plummer winning in big way and then going to the Rose Bowl, okay, and coming up short. That is being mired in mediocrity. So Scott Peters popped into my head because Scott had been an outspoken critic of Arizona State when I first started doing this in 2011. He and Gray Rugemer had a really good show together, really good chemistry, and they were outspoken, and they were just ripping to shreds the program because it deserved it. And I was curious about where Scott was on all of this. Scott Peters joins us now, former ASU and NFL offensive lineman. Long-winded introduction. How are you, first of all? What's new?
Hey, Brad, good. It's, a lot of good things here, so I'm excited about this, man. I really am. I can't wait to watch what happens. I think they got the right guy.
Okay, so let's go back on this. And you're out of football. You're working with offensive linemen. You've opened your own platform. You've done a lot of work. You're with the Boxing Commission. You're head of the Arizona Boxing Commission still, right? Is that right?
Yep. Yeah, that's right.
Okay, and then talk about your business side of what you're doing now.
So we started Safe Football. That's a program that was going around teaching contact for all position players, really, to starting at the youth level, going all the way up to the NFL level. We worked with a lot of high schools in Phoenix and really across the country, and just partnered with USA Football to do their contact system, which we're excited about as well. Just getting out there and teaching, leveling up information, making sure that the game, obviously concussions, totally different topic, but there's a lot of problems there, and we want to solve those problems, and the best people to do that are those closest to the problem. And as former players, the best, honestly, it takes a long time to learn this kind of thing, but we wanted to expedite that process and make information available to kids and to see this game continue.
Talking with Scott Peters, and I wanted you to give your background because this is a guy that loves football, and this is a guy that is extraordinarily passionate about Arizona State. And you've been angry. I'd even use pissed off at ASU in the past. I'm not putting words in your mouth, am I?
I don't think so. I mean, that's, when you have I think the guys that played in the played at Arizona State are the, if there's anybody that's like a vested stakeholder in that program, it's the alumni. And I think I know I'm not alone in that. There's a lot of frustrations going back years, and it's, I think everybody, I don't know that anyone really thought there was a magic bullet for this. Just, we never felt that in the past, there was a real brand identity here. And I think that's what it, the essence of this is. We needed a brand identity. What is Arizona State football? And if we're always looking for the next guy to, you know, the best available coach, but we don't really know, we don't have clarity on what that model looks like, I think you're kind of, you're subject to whatever happens in the market. And I think, honestly, I think with this decision that Ray has made, it was well deliberated, and had a chance to speak to Ray before the hiring and with a number of other players. And so I think, we were frustrated, not so much because we can, you know, Todd Graham, and I don't want to put Todd down totally because I think he did a really good job in some ways. I mean, he did some really great things for the program, but unfortunately, we just haven't seen continuity and nothing. We don't have a foundation that's been built. It's been kind of a, every year seems like it's just more of the same. And so when you got 6 years to do something, to build something, I think that's what he was there, 6 years, right? So you kind of hope that you have something to show for that. And I think ultimately, you know, not to say he didn't do some really good things, but I think with Ray, and Ray made it really clear that we had not won a Rose Bowl in 31 years. And for Arizona State to, you know, it's like, it's funny because everybody has said this for the longest time. Oh, what an awesome opportunity. What a great place to build a program. But yeah, we just haven't had that, you know, that year by year success. And it seems like we're just finding ourselves at the end of each term from a new coach, we're finding ourselves in the same position we were in, and no one's satisfied. So I think I think this has been handled very well, and I'm excited about what Herm Edwards will bring.
Yeah, the term sleeping giant I've used, no, it's just sleeping. And
exactly.
And it's a mirage. And people get really mad at me about that. You know, people that work over there and the guys that I like to refer to that have their maroon socks pulled up past their knees and their gold shorts down below their ankles. And that's fine to have that type of passion. It's fine. But when you're mired in mediocrity and the numbers don't lie, and this doesn't besmirch what you did for the program or any of the players that did for the program.
No, not at all.
Not at all. It's completely, totally unacceptable what's gone on for 20 plus years. And all I ever get over there is excuses. That's it. So I want you to give me the context, if you're comfortable doing it, of when you met with Ray. It wasn't just you, from my understanding. There were other former players and people around the program that were brought in. Can you give me that background and what was said in that meeting?
Sure. Yeah, so we, you know, Ray brought us in, brought about 6 to 8 of us in there, guys like, you know, going back to Ron Pritchard and Danny White and then Juan Roque and a few other guys, Marcus Williams and some others. And it was just a group, kind of an eclectic group of players that you know, were living in the Valley that had real, you know, deep passion for the program. And really, Ray just kind of let us talk and said, hey, guys, I want to hear what you guys think. And it was a really productive conversation for me and for the rest of the guys, I think, too, because it was a candid opportunity to tell Ray kind of some of our feelings. And so myself, I mean, everyone has a unique experience. But one thing I think I'd go as far as to saying it's, if not a consensus, the overwhelming majority of retired or former players, rather, alumni feel very similar to the way we feel. It's like, well, this university from the football program is struggling to find an identity. A lot of that is a lack of, you know, from one of the points that I've raised is that it feels very transactional as an alumni. And, you know, you see other programs that have big time alumni support and they've got that continuity there. Arizona State, it feels like it's kind of, you're kind of cut off and a new coach comes in. Nobody knows them. I know when Todd Graham came in, there was a big emphasis on we're going to incorporate former players. Mm-hmm. And I just think that's all kind of a symbolic gesture, but I don't think that really felt that way. And I think it goes beyond former players. It's not about us. This is about the program. But we're an asset to the program in the sense that we're in the Valley. We're here. We support this thing. We want to feel connected. And I think that's part of it. Another thing that got raised that was probably the primary emphasis of this meeting was recruiting. And you know, that's what everyone can agree on. I mean, you got to get the best players. And we have a state in this state. I got to tell you, I grew up in California, but after coming to ASU and staying here, I know the football, the state of high school football since my time at ASU when I got here in 97, left in 2001. The football has increased dramatically. I mean, I got to say that I go around the country And we have some of the best football in the States, in the United States, being played right here in Arizona. We have some of the best players. And I think if Arizona State can make a concerted effort to try to get to win the recruiting battle here, you see coaches come in all the time and talk about California and Texas.
Yep.
We got enough guys here, in my opinion. I think we do. I think if you look at the players here, we dominated this, and there's absolutely no excuse or reason why ASU can't kill the U of A in recruiting in the state of Arizona. I mean, it's just Arizona State is a much more attractive place. It's got a better football culture, or at least the potential for that. And we want to see that happen because I think and if you talk to high school coaches and kids, people really in the know that are coming out trying to, you know, recruits, I'm sure you've had this conversation with other guys, Brad, right? I mean, they'll tell you ASU just that they blow it in the in-state recruiting. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of people that feel that way. So you can either deny that as a reality, or you can say, hey, over time, this is the perception out there. So obviously perception is reality. We have to address this. And that starts with the relationships and the people at ASU that are reaching out and building those relationships or lack thereof, which is the case in the past, under Todd Graham. I think most everyone can say that, you know, he has not done a very good job in the state to convince coaches and players that ASU is a great destination for them.
We're talking with Scott Peters, former Sun Devil offensive lineman, former NFL lineman, and he has Safe Football. He's the head of the Arizona Boxing Commission as well. He does a lot in the community. He was brought into a meeting with several former players with Ray Anderson. In this meeting, can you get specific about when Ray raised the possibility, or not possibility, of the vision of this being run like an NFL franchise with a general manager and those sorts of things, and how was that received?
I say this, I personally received it very well, and I think everyone in the room did as well, because it made sense. I mean, you're talking about, you know, the head coach. When I played at ASU under Bruce Snyder, that's very much the system we had. Coach Snyder was well-received in the public, in the community. He had relationships with people. He brought a leadership kind of from a top-down approach. He was kind of the CEO, and then, you know, he managed a lot of really strong relationships. He built the rapport with the coaches in the community, just kind of the face of the product and kind of oversaw that. But he wasn't doing he wasn't hands-on in the instructional stuff with the players. He let the assistant guys do that. And I think that's so important to have a really strong face out there, someone that can get the respect and the credibility that the program kind of needs and deserves. I feel like that was really strong. That's how I received that information. I totally agree, because I think when you look at the NFL, you know, the head coaches are not in all the time. They're not always actively involved in the X's and O's. They're not actively involved in the weight room. They oversee it. They mm-hmm. they provide the motivation. They provide the kind of the blueprint. But, you know, these guys are active. They're the head coach. And I think that's important to have that figurehead up there. And especially when you're going into a living room of a young man that wants to make a decision, he's getting pulled and prodded by different schools. You want to, you know, what separates Arizona State? And I think having Herm Edwards in your living room would do that. And he's a guy that, I mean, he exudes respect. He's somebody that has a long history of that. I mean, going back, most people don't even know that he was a player. You know, he's a very good player in the NFL, played for 9 years. So that's, to me, that goes a long way. But then to see what he's done after his playing career, you know, a lot of people question, well, is he a TV commentator? No, he's an expert. And I'll tell you what, like, he's around football. It's a name that I did not expect to hear, to be honest. It's kind of like, you know, he wasn't in the, you know, you see these coaching lists hot on the hot list and stuff. And I thought it was an innovative and interesting pick by Ray to go into that, to find Herm, to bring a guy like that in. He's got a record of building, you know, building things. And I think he's somebody that can be really strong for this program and to help us get back on track.
Okay, last question before I let you go, Scott. And it's this, it's pretty straightforward. This has not been well received. Okay, most people, and I wrote a column last week in Ray I Trust, and I've gotten just crushed like I've never gotten crushed. And it's fine. I'm fine with that. I feel as though the former players that I talk to, I have yet to run across a former player who says this is the worst move ever that's willing to come on the air and talk about it. From your point of view, you talk to your former players, your teammates, your friends. What has been the feel from the former players, A? And B, what do you say to those people that say this is the worst thing ever? This is nothing more than cronyism of Ray hiring one of his former clients.
Well, I guess I can understand that concern. But let me say this about former players. Yes, I have not talked to a single guy that didn't have nothing but good things to say about this decision. I think everyone's skeptical. And to address the critics, they have every right to be skeptical. I mean, if you look at the pattern here going back to
20 years,
you know, after Coach Snyder, yeah, it's a long time. So everyone has a right. And I think if you care and you're passionate about this, then you're obviously you're a big supporter, a fan of Sun Devil football. So, hey, your opinion is just as valid as anybody else's opinion. We want people to care. If you don't care, we've lost it all. But so I understand people's concerns. They are valid. I get the idea that, oh, this is cronyism and all that stuff. Well, you know, let's face it. If anybody out there knows how hirings work, people hire who they know and they can trust, right? So I don't have a problem with someone hiring someone that they know, because it's instead of just going out. And I think in the case of Todd Graham, the university, as I understand it, they went out and they hired a hiring firm to hire Todd Graham. So that was a third party. This is an intimate relationship. So Ray is a very intelligent, very calculated individual that comes from a place like at the highest level of the NFL. His expectations are extraordinarily high, and I think maybe too high for some people. And I don't, and those who say, well, you know, you shouldn't fire Todd Graham after a 7-5 season. I think that once that taste for success comes back to this program, a 7-5 season is not a good season.
No,
that's never the case. I mean, Coach Snyder got fired after a 6-6. You know, we went to a bowl game that year, and I think that was in 1990 or 2000 rather. He got fired, but he built a taste for success after the Rose Bowl and all the things he did with the program. And ultimately, that got him fired. And then, you know, we look back and go, man, that wasn't all that bad when you see some of the things that have transpired since. So I think this is a good decision. I think that we have to, hopefully people will wrap their head around it. But then again, for those critics out there, I don't think we could put them to bed until ASU gets back on track. And I think that's what Ray's looking to do, is to actually not talk about it. You know, hiring Herm Edwards is not a symbolic gesture. This is an actual maneuver. This is a strategic move to build this program and put it back in place where it needs to be.
That's good stuff, as always. I'm glad to hear things are going well with everything that you're working on. I appreciate your time and your insight, Scott. Thanks.
Thanks, Brad. Take care.
Always good to hear from Scott Peters. Very passionate. Very, very passionate. I love. I don't care if we agree or not. It's just good to hear someone who gives a rat's, because there's far too many people are like, it's a pro sports town. Well, you can't compete. No, you should probably leave if that's really what your mentality is. Well, you don't know what it's like. No, you should probably leave. Sports360AZ.com. We're back with more after this timeout. All right, before we get out of here, we have Talk to the Lopes coming up here in a couple of minutes. So this segment's very short. And then at 11:15, we'll have our Friday Night 360 AZ show. Talk to the Lopes. I'm really looking forward to having Tom Kuiper on. Grand Canyon University last night, I thought they put up a pretty good fight. They looked overmatched, which they're going to in year one of being at the Division I level. The Havocs were great. ESPNU did a nice job of capturing all that. I was going to mention Pash and Walton last night. So it's interesting. Anybody who's like diehard sports fan is ripping on Dave Pash and Bill Walton. Anybody who's just into sports and has some other things going on in their space. I'm sitting with my daughter last night. She's an athlete. She's 21. We flew her home for knee surgery. She's rehabbing her ACL. She's working on her homework. And I've got the game on. We're sitting there together and she's chuckling. She's not even looking at the TV. She's chuckling. And she keeps chuckling. She said, "Who is this guy? He's funny. This guy's funny, Dad." And it's Bill Walton. And I gave her some background on Bill and I being broadcast partners in San Diego and all that stuff. And then she hears Pash and she's kind of giggling too. And she said, "I like these guys. This is fun to watch." It's not for everybody. It's really not for everybody. There was stuff last night that Bill was talking about where he falling into a saguaro that was just funny, going into a break, falling into a cactus and other things. If you take yourself so dang serious, you can't just breathe for a little bit, relax, and have a sense of humor. I don't know. Maybe you're the smartest guy in the room. Maybe you should just kind of dial it back a little bit and enjoy it. Broadcasts aren't for everybody. This show's not for everybody. Lots of websites aren't for everybody. It's just, I like the fact that Bill is comfortable in his own skin, and he and Dave can go back and forth. It's just a different way to go about what could have been another game on a Tuesday night on ESPN2. Instead, the two of them are going back and forth and getting some stuff out of DeAndre Ayton. I don't think I'd agree with Bill at all that he's better than Shaq, which came out of Bill's mouth last night, which is funny. But anyways, I just enjoy them, and it's a different approach to it. There's nothing on tonight except except Brad Sesmat, Football AZ over on Fox Sports Arizona. There's no games tonight. There's no Suns. There's no Coyotes. There's no nothing. TV show is on tonight, and it's on six times tonight. Six times tonight, you can check it out. A Talk to the Lopes is next with Tom Kuiper. Stay with us. All right, before we get out of here, we have Talk to the Lopes coming up here in a couple of minutes. So this segment's very short. And then at 11:15, we'll have our Friday Night 360 AZ show. Talk to the Lopes today. I'm really looking forward to having Tom Kuiper on. Grand Canyon University last night. I thought they put up a pretty good fight. They looked overmatched, which they're going to in year one of being at the Division I level. The Havocs were great. ESPNU did a nice job of capturing all that. I was going to mention Pash and Walton last night. So it's interesting. Anybody who's like diehard sports fan is ripping on Dave Pash and Bill Walton. Anybody who's just into sports and has some other things going on in their space. I'm sitting with my daughter last night. She's an athlete. She's 21. We flew her home for knee surgery. She's rehabbing her ACL. She's working on her homework. And I've got the game on. We're sitting there together and she's chuckling. She's not even looking at the TV. She's chuckling. And she keeps chuckling. She said, "Who is this guy? He's funny. This guy's funny, Dad." And it's Bill Walton. And I gave her some background on Bill and I being broadcast partners in San Diego and all that stuff. And then she hears Pash and she's kind of giggling too. And she said, "I like these guys. This is fun to watch." It's not for everybody. It's really not for everybody. There was stuff last night that Bill was talking about where he falling into a saguaro that was just funny, going into a break, falling into a cactus, and other things. If you take yourself so dang serious, you can't just breathe for a little bit, relax, and have a sense of humor. I don't know. Maybe you're the smartest guy in the room. Maybe you should just kind of dial it back a little bit and enjoy it. Broadcasts aren't for everybody. This show's not for everybody. Lots of websites aren't for everybody. It's just, I like the fact that Bill is comfortable in his own skin and he and Dave can go back and forth. It's just a different way to go about what could have been another game on a Tuesday night on ESPN2. Instead, the two of them are going back and forth and getting some stuff out of DeAndre Ayton. I don't think I'd agree with Bill at all that he's better than Shaq, which came out of Bill's mouth last night, which is funny. But anyways, I just enjoy them and it's a different approach to it. There's nothing on tonight except Brad Sesmat, Football AZ over on Fox Sports Arizona. There's no games tonight. There's no Suns. There's no Coyotes. There's no nothing. TV show is on tonight. It's on six times tonight. Six times tonight, you can check it out. A Talk to the Lopes is next with Tom Kuiper. Stay with us. Time now, as we do every Wednesday, for Talk to the Lopes. Every week, we talk Grand Canyon University athletics all across the board. This week, we're focusing on the basketball program. Tom Kuiper, radio analyst with us. Tom's voice is well-known around the Valley for years and years on the youth level and does great work there on the radio side as well. On the Lopes as last night, late night for Tom. So if he's a little blue, you're not bleary, are you? You're not going to be like, no, you sound good. Even though it was a loss, 68-60 to St. John's. That game, that game end? I was looking at my clock. It was after 11, right? Last night?
Yeah, I think by the time we finished the post game, it was 12:30. But, you know, when you think about it, the Havocs, they loved it. The students, you know, they get started at midnight. I was ready for bed at about 11. About halftime.
Right. You go hit Taco Bell and call it a day, right? You know, middle of the night,
right.
Deal. Make a run.
Yeah.
All right. So what did you take from last night's loss that you look at and say, here's my view of it, and then you correct me if I'm wrong. This was really a tune-up for March. Big arena, big name opponent, big name brand, lose by eight, a little bit of poise, a little bit of composure to look at. And that's about it from my point of view. What about you?
Well, I tell you, they've lost their last two games. And what they're getting is a taste of reality that, hey, we're really not that good that we can just rely on our athleticism and just get by with, you know, we're good athletes and it doesn't matter if we don't shoot the ball well because somehow we'll find a way to win. Mm-hmm. And so it's been a taste of reality for them because when they do play these teams that are just as athletic, if not more athletic, they're in trouble. And so they've got to go back and dig in a little bit deeper and say, you know, we got to get into the gym a little bit more. We got to shoot. We got to work a little bit more on our mechanics. Their shooting has been horrible. But you're right. I mean, they were playing over their head. Mm-hmm. You know, you got a mid-major playing against a Big East school, and you're always going to be undersized. You're not going to be as athletic. You're not going to have some of the basketball skill level that someone that you're playing at a higher level. And so it was, again, a taste of reality because they aren't as big. They're not as strong. They're not as fast as some of these major schools.
And that's something, Tom, I think that changes in time. Dan's roster, just the eyeball test and watching games now versus the team that he inherited and having to sit through the period of, well, we're not tournament bound yet. And now that they are, it's night and day, I think, the eyeball test. And you've been doing the games for a while now. Am I right on that, the type of guy that Dan has on the floor? He's just going to get better as time goes by.
Oh, he's an unbelievable coach. I mean, he knows what he's doing. He's got the guys working hard. And that's the other thing. They work hard. So that's not the issue. You know, Dan brings in a lot of different sets. Mm-hmm. And even within the sets, there's a lot of different patterns within those sets. So he's got a lot going, and he's got a system that's for upper-level players. But as of today, so to speak, what he's getting are guys that don't sign at the major schools. So if you think about it, how do you compete when you're a mid-major school like Grand Canyon and you want to be, you know, a March-bound school? How do you compete with the U of A's and the St. John's and some of the big major schools? Because what you normally get, typically get, are the kids that don't sign at ASU, or the kids that don't sign, you know, the kids that were leftovers. And that's what kind of players mid-major schools get until you can turn that corner like a St. Mary's or a Gonzaga or something mm-hmm. like that, where somehow you get past that point where you get, and I hate to use the term, but the leftover players.
Mm-hmm. And I think they're getting that. The recruiting class this year, having the kid back from the Midwest come out here next year, that's a good get. And Casey Benson coming down from Oregon. And Josh Braun last night, let's talk backcourt. Josh Braun last night, did the stage get a little big for him for the first time? I thought it did early in the game.
Yeah, Brad, that's a tough one. Josh is he would be that other side of what I was talking about. He's a kid that's got the mechanics, mm-hmm. but maybe not the athletic portion of it. So when you're playing against a team like St. John's, and what's the scouting report on Josh Braun? You know, it's go out, don't let him shoot the three, and after you take that away, you've taken away his game. Well, these guys that are a little bit more athletic than Josh, they can take him out of his game. They can come out and deny any kind of an outside shot. So then Josh is stuck. And, you know, he shot 5 for 16 last night, 3 for 10 from mm-hmm. behind the arc, didn't get to the free throw line. And when you talk about that, too, why is someone not getting to the free throw line? You know, so there's a lot in that. But, yeah, I don't know if he was star-stuck, Brad, or if they just took his game away because he's not quite as athletic as some of those guys.
GCU plays at home against Grambling. That will be this weekend. And then they go to Boise next week. And I'm not looking past Grambling, but Boise goes to Oregon. They win at the buzzer. This was a late add to the schedule, a really good late add now. For next week. So this doesn't get any easier, and you can use the term tournament tested, and I'm not talking about March Madness. I'm, Tom, just looking at WAC tournament tested. That's what you want here in these games, is to get bloodied up, to get bruised up, to scrape your knees, to take some losses, to get your pegs knocked down from you in December, and then build yourself back up the rest of the season. That's how I'm seeing it.
Well, the schedule, they're doing it right. They went 4-0. They played some lesser talented schools, and then they play a team like San Diego, who, when you're talking about mid-majors beating majors, they beat Oregon State,
yep.
you know, a couple weeks ago. So that was a team that's still considered a mid-major that the Lopes played against. So they get four easy games, and then they step it up a little bit, and they play San Diego, who's a tough opponent. And then, yeah, you've got other schools that are mid-majors that are competing with some of the bigger schools. And so it's all prep work, And it needs to be done because these guys have to figure out that, again, like what I was saying, we may not be as good as we thought, or we are as good as we thought, but we're going to have to figure out how to make that good, good.
You can hear Tom Kuiper on the radio basketball call for Grand Canyon University over on 1580 AM, The Fanatic. He is there with Michael Potter. You two have been together for how long now, Tom?
Well, this has been our second year with the Loafs. We've done some games with ASN and some other people before, but this is actually our second season together with Grand Canyon.
And you're having fun, it sounds like, on the air.
Brad, I need to tell you, I've done lots and lots of games in different venues, and you and I have even done some games together, but Michael is one of the best. He's got a way about him that just makes it fun.
Well, that's how it should be. Good luck to you guys, and the broadcast is Saturday night against Grambling. 7 o'clock tip, right? Am I right on that?
It is 7 o'clock.
Yep, 7 o'clock tip, and that's this week, and then Boise State next week. Thanks for joining us this week, Tom. Appreciate it.
Brad, anytime, just let me know.
There's Tom Kuiper there, the radio color analyst for Grand Canyon University. Every week we do Talk to the Lopes, Grand Canyon University Athletics. We appreciate the partnership with GCU. Thanks for checking out this podcast on Sports360AZ.com, brought to you by your Valley Hyundai dealers.